With Hashem's loving grace, this is Lazer Brody from the Chush HaChesed Yeshiva in the Holy City of Yerushalayim, with another one of our Muna series lessons based on the teachings of our beloved and esteemed rabbi and spiritual guide, Shalom Arush. May Hashem bless him always. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be gratifying to Hashem, and may everyone who hears today's lesson get encouragement, spiritual strengthening, and a lot of happiness.
Amen.
Today's lesson is important. And our not even day-to-day life, our minute-to-minute life, our second-to-second life, it's the key to positive thinking. Key to positive thinking. Bezat Hashem, pay close attention to the principles we're learning in today's lesson. They are more than simple. They are so very simple. Because the happiness is simplicity. The Kabbalah speaks about Hashem. But one of the principles we learn from the Arizal that Hashem is utter simplicity. Utter simplicity. People complicate things. You know, all types of philosophies and all things are complicated. But Hashem's utter simplicity. Happiness is utter simplicity. And we're going to learn, Bezat Hashem, how to think positively. And positive thinking, of course, is the basis of happiness. You can't be happy if you don't think positive. A person has negative thoughts, negative emotions. Negative thoughts, they come from negative emotions, they lead, they fuel one another. Negative emotions, negative thoughts, and that's unhappiness. So positive thoughts, positive emotions, good emotions, happiness. Before we start, now, Baruch Hashem, now the first day of Elul, Chodesh Tov, is the first day of a ceasefire. We hope it holds. It's wonderful, a lot of people thinking negatively. And they say, you know, what's going on here? And Israel didn't win the war. It did win the war. And, you know, what's this? A baseball game? I mean, to win. Okay. Only Hashem wins wars. You know, what's it going on? They're dead against our dead. Who did this wars? The victory is that the children in the south of Israel went back to Cheder today. That's the victory. The victory that the yeshiva students and the kollel students in the south of Israel went back to yeshiva and kollel today. Because victory is getting closer to Hashem. Victory is Torah. You can't get closer to Hashem where there's no Torah. Okay, it's the fact that the south of Israel today is full of Torah. If they were still firing, then, you know, nobody knew. Nobody knew what it was going to be. How are going to be the yeshivas when missiles are falling in yeshivas? How are you going to have cheders? How can little children learn Torah when the missiles are falling on the haters? Okay. So this is the victory. This is the victory. And it's not BB or not Boogie, not Benny, not any of the three B's. It's Hashem. It's Hashem deciding. People understand it's not logical. And he did take advice in the cabinet. He did take advice in the cabinet. Came to a vote. It did come to a vote. That's so ridiculous. Get out of the news. Get out of the news. There's not a single positive thought that's going to come from the news. What are you reading newspapers for? The people that write newspapers, they haven't read the Garden of Emunah. They don't know what's going on. I don't even know if the people that write the quote, religious newspapers, I'd quote, have read the Garden of Emunah. Okay? So what's it read? I've read no newspaper with a keep on the head. Okay. That's the same thing, newspaper. That we get our information from Daf Yomi, we get our information from the Chumash Yomi, Parshas Yomi. This is where we get our information. We don't get our information from the news and not from the media, because it warps everything. You see, people, you can look at two different Israeli newspapers. One says Israel won the war. The other says Hamas won the war. That they're the new David and Israel the Goliath, and they withstood. It's ridiculous, ridiculous, inane, stupid things. Here lately, we've been speaking recent weeks about the meaning of the war and what Hashem has done. The entire purpose of the war was to bring Am Yisrael to make tshuva. Am Yisrael has not yet made tshuva en masse. Okay, Hashem wants to bring the redemption. So Hashem made a timeout. There's now a temporary ceasefire. Now, if we see recently, 4 years ago there was a war. Am Yisrael had a chance to make tshuva. Okay, then 2 years ago, there was a more difficult war. Now, Israel, give another chance. Then 1 year ago, there was a war. All right, now we have another one. So by the way it's going, Let's see, there's 4 years, then down to 2 years, and then to 1 year. That's the last. So now the next one is going to be 6 months. So if Am Yisrael doesn't make tshuva, then what's going to do with all this political pressure? And they open up the blockade. What's the first thing Iran says? The first thing they're going to do is bring more weapons into Gaza. First thing. And God says, anybody knows anything about Islam and Hamas are religious Muslims, they are not allowed to make peace. They're not allowed to make peace with Israel. And not only don't they, you know, they're not dancing to anti-Semitic, with a kafir, a non, what's called the Muslims call a non-believer. They're not allowed to make peace with him. So when do they make peace? They make peace. It's not peace. Okay, it's not peace. It's a temporary ceasefire when the non-believer is stronger than they are. Then they respect it. Then they, otherwise, they subdue it. Okay, so meanwhile, what they're doing is to rebuild. There's no such thing as rebuilding. Rebuilding means to rebuild the tunnels, rebuild their missile site. Okay, but that's all Hashem's doing. Hashem's to wake us up. Our job is to wake up and get close to Hashem. But one, not one. There is one definition that Rav Shalom always uses of intrinsic good in the world. There's only one intrinsic good. And this is your barometer to judge whether something is good or not good. It's getting closer to Shem. A family spoke to me long distance a few hours ago. Husband lost his job. Wife had a health difficulty. All types of different issues that they've been dealing with for the last 6 months. 6 months of unemployment, 6 months of health issues. A couple has changed very much. The wife, 6 months ago, didn't dress modestly. 6 months ago, she didn't cover hair. The husband, 6 months ago, did not daven the minyan. Perfunctory, maybe put on fill in the morning. Didn't bother, didn't learn Torah. Now the husband davens the minyan, the husband learns Torah, the wife covers her hair, she dressed modestly. They both speak to Hashem for an hour a day. All right, so now we stop. Okay, look where they are. They are light years ahead spiritually now than they were 6 months ago. So if we look at their situation through spiritual eyes, are they better off today or are they better off 6 months ago? A million times better off. He's turned into a tzaddik. She's turned into a tzaddikus. But meanwhile, they've had unemployment. They've had health issues. They will be rid. I speak of them knowing the way Hashem runs the world. They will very be soon rid of the unemployment and rid of the health issues as soon as they internalize the way of service Hashem that Hashem wanted. In other words, Hashem stimulated them. Obviously, Hashem spoke to them with other wake-up calls. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. So Hashem had to give loud wake-up calls. It's a showstopper. The woman's health issue, the husband's unemployment. Nothing is more painful to a man than unemployment. And a man who loses all his self-confidence. And a woman, and a health issue that affects her appearance. Nothing is more painful to a woman. Nothing. The Gemara says that six-year-olds and 60 years old, they're all the same. Even a woman of 100, she cares about her appearance just like a little girl at 10. And it's funny, you'll see babies, little girls with babies that they're a year old and then they care about their parents or baby girls. Yeah, they're different. It's important to them. But now what Hashem has brought them to a situation where they're on the road to being tzaddikim. They're going to internalize that, and they're going to pass this test of Emunah, I'm sure, see it time and time again, and that things will turn around for the best. What they need to expedite turning things around for the best is positive thinking. That's what we're talking about today, the key to positive thinking. First, I want to tell you a contrast, and this is so fresh out of the war. Fresh out of the war. A contrast between two different soldiers. Okay. One soldier, special forces. Soldier to the special forces mission, a very dangerous mission. He participated in a night landing from the sea commandos, Shatat Shloshesay, and they did a night landing into Gaza City, and they hit a Hamas headquarters in Gaza City at midnight on their own. They came with the submarine off the coast in rubber boats and right in the, on the beach in Gaza, and came in, did a really dangerous mission, came back. Spoke to one of these soldiers, and he told me, that's something we knew about from our unit. But so one thing is, you know, how did you, you're scared, but what if you would feel like, he says, of course, there's no such thing as someone's not scared. But he said, we practice this mission so much, we visualize this mission so much. In other words, he said, I visualized in my mind over and over again that I had accomplished my job. I saw, let's suppose, I'm not going to say what they did, but let's suppose they destroyed a mission launcher. He says, I saw in my head the missile launcher that was already blown up. And I saw the Hamas running away, either falling right or running away. This I saw in my mind. He said, in my mind, we were already victorious. It's just a technical problem of how we're going to do it. And he says, this is the way the entire crew of those sea commandos, they thought. They went in, they were already victorious. They're already victorious. And of course, a big strengthening of Amunah. Big strengthening of Amunah. He said, I felt, this particular soldier, Shomer Shabbat. He said, I felt that there's no way that Hashem is not going to be with us. And keep thinking of what King David said. He went over and over and over and over in his head. Gam ki elech b'geit salmol v'lo yirah ki atah imadi. Although I walk in the valley of death, I shall not fear, for you are with me. And then Shiviti said, Hashem's name, Hashem's name, Hashem's name. He taught the other soldiers in that unit, hey guys, don't do anything. Don't have to eat kosher. Don't keep Shabbat. Just look at these four letters. Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. See Hashem's name. The Hashem is right there with us. Can you do that? He said, no problem. Okay, just know that Hashem is right there with us. And if Hashem is with us, ki ein machzor. Nothing can happen to any. Nothing can happen. All right? They came back without a single guy wounded. They did their mission perfect. And a lot of people badmouthed the sea commandos after what happened. The Marmory with the Turks. But it's all, and anytime it is, it's usually from headquarters. That the headquarters, the commanders aren't clear. Or the politicians aren't clear. And they gave them rubber bullets to shoot in the Marmory mission. When there were all these terrorists, all these Turkish terrorists and Palestinian terrorists and everything. Okay. These guys are great guys. To add Emunah to these great guys, they did a great job. The first soldier, the one they had the privilege of speaking to, he said the secret was that they went in, we knew we were going to complete the mission. They had such positive thinking, they had the thinking of winners. Only one little technical detail, how are we going to get the job done? The fact that the outcome, we already know who scored a game. We already know it's going to be a good winner. Okay, this is one of the soldiers in the Sea Command Unit 13 that performed like this. This was before, once again, before the ground incursion, before that there were Israeli soldiers in the ground. They did a night mission into Gaza successfully and came back. Phenomenal. Second, and this is first-hand stuff. I'm not going to say names, I'm not going to say places. One particular soldier got killed and went to the Shiva house. Went to make Shiva coffee. And the mother says, Rabbi, I want to tell you about my son. He had a spirit of prophecy, a Ruach HaKodesh. And she mentioned about the son. She came in, nobody else was there. Sat there with her husband, sat with them together, encouraged them. Then other people came in, so she went off to women, the husband stayed alone. But the mother, in the few months she talked to, she said, the son, when he came home from furlough, and it's a unit that regularly serves in Gaza, came home from furlough and has already known that there were about to be a ground incursion. And if there was a ground incursion, it was the time when he was on furlough that the Air Force was still bombing. The ground incursion didn't happen yet. He told his parents, he says, there's a ground incursion. I have a feeling that this is my last year on Earth. And the parents said, no, don't talk. He said, no, Mom, don't be sad. Don't be sad. I'm just feeling. Okay. And the mother said, you see, he was right. He knew. He was at such a high spiritual level. And he had a high spiritual awareness. And he knew that this was going to be his last year. Okay, so of course, the mother and Lester should be consoled, this and that. But when I left the Shiva house, I said, that wasn't it. Compare this particular infantry soldier to the Sea Commando. The Sea Commando, when he was training, and what he did was dangerous, really dangerous. Really dangerous. It's technically, we say it, according to Amunah, we know that every person lives, he leaves the world exactly when Hashem wants him to leave the world. But militarily and strategically, the infantry soldier's death could have been prevented. It was a series of not intelligent mistakes. Equipment not in the right situation. Old equipment, etc., etc. Okay. The soldier had a mindset. The infantry soldier, but that's it. It's finished. The mind is so powerful. We see this throughout the Torah. We're talking about it. And throughout the Gemara. The human mind, especially the Jewish mind, because the Jewish mind is fueled from a Jewish neshama, can literally dictate reality. We learn from all the students of the Baal Shem Tov that if one thinks good, it is good. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch that said, think good and it'll be good. The Yiddish is Trach good and Bezayin good. Lubavitch, I think, is their expression. Hold it, okay, it's fine, they're right. Tzemach Tzedek did say that. But if you're a Breslover, open up Likutei Moran to the first part, Torah 49, Torah Memtet, and Rabbi Nachman says, do you know what the good inclination is? And do you know what the evil inclination is? He said, good thoughts are the good inclination, and evil thoughts are the evil inclination. So therefore, you've got a great barometer about who's talking in your head. We all know that there's a debate going on in our heads all the time. The good inclination against the evil inclination. Now, who's against who? If we're watching a soccer team, we know, okay, Brazil is wearing the blue jerseys, and the UK is wearing the white jersey. All right. They don't have a jersey in our head. Wish that the evil inclination wore a blue jersey. Okay. And the good inclination wore a white jersey. Much easier. But we're going to give them colored jerseys now. How do you know it's the evil inclination, the good inclination on your head? Because the positive thoughts come from the good inclination. And the negative thoughts come from the evil inclination. So as soon as the evil Kodesh says, hey, come on, finish, you're not good enough. Forget it. Why work in Elul? Why work in Elul? You're such a tzaddik. And what, Hashem is going to judge you fairly when you acted like a schnook all year long and all of a sudden you're a tzaddik in Elul? Get out of here, he's a liar. That's negative. You know what the good inclination is? The good inclination is, you know, I messed up all year long, yeah. Because I got this evil inclination. And life is not so easy. And we get these faith tests of our faith. We don't always get 100s on tests. Sometimes we get 70s and 80s. And sometimes we get bruised here and there. But you know the difference between Elul and the rest of the year? Elul is the way I want to be. You can't put on an act for a week. For an entire month, you can put it out for 10 minutes. You can't put it out. Elul is the way I want to be. Elul, I'm conscious. I'm conscious. I'm standing before the judgment day. 30 days. 29 days away. 29 days away. Stand before Melech Malcham, Lochim, the King of Kings, and get judged. A That's pretty scary. El is where I want to be. Hashem, I know I blew it. Okay, but it's a new game and a new strategy. Elul is the product, a successful Elul, and if you read all the Musar books and all the Hasidic books, Elul is the product of positive thinking. Elul is the product of how I want to be. And our positive thinking, that is who I am. Well, who is a person? What's a person? You're the guy with the white beard, you're the guy with the gray beard, you're the lady with the shekel, you're the lady with the tichel, you're the lady without her cover. No, who are we? We are who our thoughts are. This is Baal Shem Tov. This is Baal Shem Tov. A person is who his thoughts are. And his thoughts, his good thoughts are his good inclination, and his evil thoughts are his evil inclination. So now you can know who is boss of that person. And it's amazing. People say, where do you get this? Okay, Baal Shem Tov. It's right out of the Torah. Where do we learn the power of thoughts in the Torah? Where do we learn? Let's see if we make the question more strong. Hone in even more. Where do we learn in the Torah that thoughts create reality? Thoughts create reality. Okay. Let's take a korban in the base of Mikdash. All right? Pay special attention, Kohanim. You're good, Ralphie. A person comes, and he comes to make tshuva. He brings a korban to the kohen. This korban is the best lamb or the best bull in his flock. It is glatt kosher. It is perfect. No blemish at all. Perfect for sacrifice. When that thing gets slaughtered, it's going to be 100% glatt kosher. Any way you look at it, halak beit Yosef, what they call in the slaughterhouse, halak beit spa, the way they check it, by Ashkenazi, by Sfar, it's going to be perfect. Right. Take this perfect animal, right, and give it to the kohen. And the kohen now slaughters it for this person, because this person's a sin offering. And the guy stops and he's making tshuva, it's Elul, it's korban. Now let's suppose the kohen is a wicked kohen. He's a spiteful, wicked, selfish kohen. Right? And not only that, he's short-sighted. He doesn't want somebody else to be happy. He looks at this guy, perfect korban, perfect there. And this wicked kohen says, I'm going to mess it up for him. So what does he do? The kohen has a thought, only a thought. He says, the guy's watching over him, watching away the kohen. So the kohen does a perfect kosher slaughter with a perfect knife. Perfect kosher slaughter, perfect knife. Okay, the korban is perfect. But while the kohen is slaughtering, the kohen says, I am going to eat the sin offering. Kohen, they partake of the sin offering. I'm going to eat it 3 days from now, when he's only allowed to eat one day and one night. Or I'm going to give the blood tomorrow, when he has to give the blood right now. And that's what's called, or I'm going to eat it outside the courtyard of Beit HaMikdash. Any thought, what the Gemara says, lo b'mekoymoy, lo b'zmanoy, it is rendered pigul, spiritually unfit. Spiritually unfit. The guy did everything. He did a perfect birth. That meat is glatt kosher. But once the Kohen thought, he had a blemished thought that he is going to eat the korban at the wrong time, give the blood on the altar at the wrong time, he ruins the korban. He ruins it. That meat turns in. Nobody touched it. The animal is perfectly healthy. No bad lung, no trach, one of the 24 types of main types of trachis that render the meat unkosher. Meat is halakhically perfectly kosher, but now it is unfit for consumption. Not only that, the Gemara tells us that it causes tuma to the hands if anybody touches, ritual impurity. What? A moment ago, that meat would have been glatt kosher, 100% glatt kosher. Now look what happens to it. What's going on here? because the Kohen had a negative thought about the Korban. Well, that Kohen certainly is going to be punished, and he's got no right being in a base of Mikdash. And that's why when a Kohen blesses, when a Kohen makes a blessing, before he blesses the people, and he says, he makes his blessing, B'Shem and Malchus, okay, Baruch Atah Hashem, okay, Levarech et Amo Yisrael Be'ahava, Hashem bless you, and not just bless me to bless the people of Israel, bless them with love, that I should be magnanimous and want the best for everything, and I should never, ever have a bad thought. And if a Kohen in a particular congregation, halachically, if he has a feud with one of the congregation members, he's not allowed to get up on the duchan, on the stand, and bless the congregation, because he's not at peace with the congregation. A Kohen has, that's why be'ahava. Otherwise, he's making a bracha lebatol. He's making a needless blessing. You can't bless with ahava. So Kohen has to have a positive thought. And here we have it, right here. And it's all through the Torah. And if we combine thought and speech, you really see what thought and speech is. It's really powerful. Really powerful. Let's take a young lady. Okay, this young Jewish maiden is allowed to marry anybody in the world. Comes along someone, okay, and puts a dollar on the table. $1. And he says, you're willing to accept this dollar? He says, yes. And then he says, Hare at mekudeshesli, kedat Moshe Yisrael, you are hereby betrothed to me, according to the law of Moses. Hare at mekudeshes, the three words. If she picks up that dollar, finished. She is now engaged. That engagement cannot be broken without a divorce. What do they get? Because she's mekudeshes. She's betrothed. Well, what's the difference? Three words. See, but then more basic. Okay? A woman's baking challahs on Friday morning. All right? And she has to take challah. The challah's not kosher. You have to take off the challah off. She takes the challah offering. All right? And what does she do before she, after she makes her blessing? She says she makes a blessing over the challah, and after she makes a blessing over the challah, because first you make the blessing, then you do the action. She takes a pinch of the dough, and she says to that dough, talking to the dough, okay, what's the dough? Water and flour. Water, flour, yeast, the dough, okay? Here, Play-Doh. Dough? Harei zu challah. You are hereby challah. Boom. You know what happens if somebody eats that? A moment ago, it's dough. Now, it's poison. If someone eats that outside the Beit HaMikdash, and he's not in complete ritual purity, when nobody's in ritual purity, we don't have the red heifer now, we don't have Beit HaMikdash, death penalty. Death penalty. Look what the three words did. It created an entire spiritual reality. An entire spiritual reality. What happens to a material reality? A material reality sources in a spiritual reality. When a person speaks, it creates an entire spiritual reality. It's amazing. It's amazing. So when a person thinks a good thought, he creates that reality of the good thought. That's why we always say, any motivation coach, if it's a good officer in the army, or if it's a good athletic coach, best one, they always say, you know, a person says, I can't. It says, not that you can't, you don't want to. Person's desire. And this is what Shalom teaches all the time, according to Rabbi Nachman. What's a free choice? A free choice is a desire. Everything comes from Hashem. That's the first principle of Amunah. Okay, so we know a person is his thoughts. Good person, good thoughts. Good thoughts, good outcome. And then again, what we learn, what Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us, Tach good, Vetzayin good, think good, it's going to be good. And Rabbeinu taught us, okay, good thoughts, good inclination, bad thoughts, bad inclination. It's all the same thing. They're both students of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, it's all, like King Solomon says, all the rivers come to the sea. I'll come back. You see, this permeates all of Hasidic thought. Positive thinking. So first says, okay, that's so nice, laser, positive thinking. How am I supposed to think positively when the world's on fire? Okay, so there's a ceasefire here, and everybody knows nothing's been accomplished. And it's a matter of months before the crazy this stuff starts over again. Okay? And right on our borders, there's bombs falling in the Golan now. Okay? And ISIS is in Syria, and who knows if the jihadi murdered on Kunetra, on the Golan border, they're not ISIS associated. Right now, it's all in the backyard. Not here, it's there. Hashem's calling to do tshuva, beloved brothers and sisters. It's all for the good. It's all good because it's waking us up to do tshuva. And if we do tshuva on our own accord, then Hashem doesn't need this. Like everything, we turn them in, our negative thoughts turn them into reality. Hamas and ISIS and Hezbollah, no, they're nothing. Where do they come from? Look in Ethics of the Fathers, chapter 4. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says exactly where it all comes from. Asa mitzvah barasenigol. Asa vera baralokategol. Person does a mitzvah, creates a good by a good angel. And a person that does the opposite, transgression, creates a negative angel, a kategor, an accusing angel. Accusing angels, they manifest themselves down here, says Rabbi Nachman, in stern judgments. What's stern judgment? Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS. Who created them? Who created them? Our transgressions. So this Am Yisrael really makes tshuva and return to Torah, they finish, they fizz out. When a kol Yaakov, when the voice of Yaakov, then the hands of Esav are not the hands of Esav. Now we can understand, people think, what would the happenstance is, why particularly this ceasefire was in Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because Shem says, okay, dude, you go crazy, it's better than, that all the yeshiva boys should sit in bomb shelters in the south and learn Gemaras rather than running around on tours when every year there's drownings, this and that, poor Hashem. Okay, but Rosh Chodesh Elul, back to learning Torah. No more missiles. That's Hashem's doing. Nobody understands why they made this ceasefire. It's not logical. What, you accomplish something? You beat the Hamas? You broke the Hamas's back? No. Until the last moment. Yesterday in the south of Israel was purgatory all day long. All day long, and they'd was alarms. You could hear from down the road in Ashdod. When we were in an alarm, you could hear the explosions in Ashkelon. And people, there were a lot of people injured. And there were two fatalities yesterday. Hashem Yikom Damam. Okay. And but all of a sudden comes Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's it. What's Hashem telling us? What's Hashem telling us? Only a blind person can't see. My beloved sons, there is nothing more important in the world than your Torah. So what are you pursuing other things? This isn't one thing. Hashem stopped the world for Torah. So to little kids, and we see the Midrash, and the Gemara says, Eino olam kayam el al hevel pidetinogo derabonon, that the world does not exist other than for the utterances of Torah of little children. And little children south of Israel, they're back to learning Torah. In Netivot, in Ashdod, in Ashkelon. It's funny, the tshuva in the south of Israel is off the charts. Anybody that knew Ashkelon 30 years ago and Ashkelon today are two different towns. Anybody that knew Ashdod 30 years ago and Ashdod today are two different towns. After Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, Ashdod is the number three Haredi city in the land of Israel. Ashkelon neighborhoods, they joke, they call it in Israel turning black. Okay, because the guys with the black coats come in the neighborhood. It doesn't mean that they're not talking about, Chas v'Shalom, people's race, but that's sick Israeli humor. But it just showed that used to see the Torah talk about the time of Pharaoh when the angel of death came, that ain't by change shall make. There's not a house, there's not a dead person. Today, in the south of Israel, there's not a single household without a live person. Every single family's got some bal tshuva. Shderot, Ofakim, Shderot, and really, Shderot has become a really spiritual place. Ofakim, Netivo, that's all. But, the building, the Torah, it's amazing. Amazing. So, you see, this is the positive. We think of positive. Wait a second, what's the positive? If I don't see the positive, I don't see the good inclination. And if I understand what Hashem is doing, I see the positive. Because everything Hashem does is for the good. So if a person doesn't look at the positive side of things, he can't see what Hashem is doing. This is one of the things that we pray for in our Yifalutut every day. We ask Hashem for emunah. Hashem, help me understand that everything you're doing is good. Because if I don't understand it's for the good, I don't understand what you're doing. Because you're my beloved Father, and everything you do, you love me more than the greatest father in the world. Everything you do is out of love. So if I have a difficulty and I think with people, there's nothing can be more senseless. What's Hashem doing to me? And what's it? Come on. It's like if you take a guy from darkest Africa and you bring him to Hadassah Hospital and you show him through the glass, the operating theater where the interns look and see the residents are, they're already in the operation, but the interns are watching how the master surgeon, how he does an operation. And this guy comes to darkest Africa, and when he sees the guy, the surgeon, is about to do an emergency appendectomy. So he takes a scalpel, and he puts it on, after they do anesthesia, okay, they give the guy as they put him to sleep, and then the surgeon is about to cut open his abdomen. What does the African try? He's yelling, murder, murder! Like, he don't understand what he's saying. The surgeon, he's an angel of mercy. He's about to save the guy's life. If he doesn't do that appendectomy, you know what's going to happen in a couple of minutes? And that appendix explodes, and all that toxins go in the guy's bloodstream? Who knows? It's going to be saying cottage for the poor guy. And the surgeon, he's an angel. He's an angel. He's a Shem Shaliah. He's got the angel Raphael, like the God-fearing surgeon. He's got the angel Raphael right on his right shoulder. He himself is close to a malach. Okay, and a guy calls a murderer? This is what we do to Hashem. Chas v'shalom. That's why you have to read the Garden of Gratitude. Because people think Garden of Gratitude shows that to say thank you to Hashem for everything. But Hashem's a loving Father. We should thank you to Hashem for everything. Because we learned in Bini Day's lesson that the ultimate good is getting close to Hashem. And if we don't get close to Hashem on our own accord, Hashem loves us and He helps us. Because just if we don't understand how it's for the good, doesn't mean it's not for the good. It means that we have to put our understanding aside, put in a munah. So first it's okay, it's all well and good with all the suffering in the world, but how do I get positive thoughts? That's simple. We just said, we fill our head with a munah. Rather than negativity. If a guy's head is full of news, and full of news commentators, people that don't have emunah, that don't understand how and why Hashem is doing everything for the best, full of negativity. If a person's head is full of the police and the IRS and all types of different things, and the UN, and they're angry at this and this commission, and then they're against Israel, come on, get out of here. Nobody's against Israel. Nobody can do a thing. Nobody's got any power in the world. Only Hashem. What do you mean only Hashem? Yeah, every Shabbat in the morning we take out the Torah, we say, Ein od milvado. Ata reite ladat ki Hashem Elokim. You saw with your own eyes that Hashem is God. Everybody saw on Mount Sinai. Ein od milvado. Don't ever forget the most three important words you can know. Ein od milvado. There is no one but Him. There is no one, but if anyone attributes power to anyone, Hamas, Hezbollah, Mashal, Nasrallah, they're all nothing. Nothing. Ein od milvado. Hashem could do whatever He wants, whenever He wants. But Hashem is a loving Father. And a loving Father sometimes has to discipline the kids. So if we discipline ourselves, Hashem could throw the disciplinary rod away. That's the only way to defeat them. That's why we occupy ourselves with Torah. But people don't believe it. They don't believe it. Any lack of emunah is a negative thought. Emunah is a positive thought. Emunah is the archetype of positive thinking. The more a person fills his head with emunah, the more he has light in his eyes and a smile on his face, the more he thinks positive. Sees good in everything because he's close to Hashem. The closer you get to Hashem, the more you see good in everything. And what happens when you see good in everything? No matter what you do, you're going to be more successful. If you're selling insurance, you're going to be more successful. You got a smile on your face. You're not worried about this person. Your income isn't depend on whether this guy buys a $50,000 whole life that you're going to get such and such monthly kickbacks from, dividends from. It doesn't depend on him. Your income comes from Hashem. All right. So give a guy a good, honest deal with a smile on your face and he feels confident. Okay? He'll buy from you. Same thing if you're in real estate selling houses. Are you confident? You're honest because the Torah wants you to be honest. And you're confident because you know your income comes from Hashem. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't try and make a hard sale. People look at you and say, guy's so charismatic and he's so honest and so straight. And I feel comfortable about buying a house from him. You're going to buy a house. You're going to succeed. Whatever you do, you're going to succeed. And if you're a doctor with the Muna, say, Hashem, help me. Hashem, you want my help? You know, and Muna doctors, statistically, how much better prognosis because they don't run on their own thinking. They ask Hashem, help me. Oh, Hashem says, you want my help? You got it. And what about the arrogant physicians that don't believe in Hashem? Oh, it's up to me? Okay, mister, you go according to your feeble income and your feeble brain power. Let's see how far you go. The worst punishment is when Hashem lets us do something on our own. That's what King David cried. Al tashli chayni b'mfonech Hashem, whatever you do. Do whatever you want to me. Torture me, do whatever you want. Just don't leave me, Hashem. Don't leave me on my own. Don't leave me on my own. Hashem said, you want my help, King David? Okay, you can have my help. You can have my help. King David, you know what the Gemara says about King David the warrior? You can't even understand what King David was, the warrior, with Hashem's help. King David could throw a spear. That spear became a ballistic missile. The Gemara says that if King David threw a spear, it could go through 800 enemy soldiers. And King David cried to Hashem and said, Hashem, why can't it go through 1,000? Hashem says, you're not on that level yet. Okay, be satisfied with 800. Okay, 800. It's right out of the Gemara. Okay, we see that our thinking actually governs the outcome. Because we have positive thinking and emunah-based thinking, Hashem does things according to emunah that defy nature. If you take the same soldier that goes into battle, and he says, my mission is accomplished successfully already. And then when you talk about it, you took some strategist from the London Institute of Strategic Studies, said, what are you talking about? The odds are so far against you, mister, there's no way you're going to complete this mission. But that guy from London, there's one variable that he doesn't take into account. Hashem. It ain't out in Nevada, there's nothing but Hashem. So when that soldier thinks positively, and he connects to Emunah, to Hashem, Gam ki elech b'tzei geit salmal b'stoi, walk in the valley of death, I shall not fear. Why? Because you're with me. Ki ato imodi. Ki ato imodi. Ki ato imodi. Ki ato imodi. If you take the first three letters, the chaf is a 20. Aleph, ato, first letter of ato, imodi, ayin, you get 91. 91 is Hashem's name, Yudke Vovke, Aleph Dalid, Yud, 26 and 65. Just by saying ki ato imodi, whenever you're scared, just say yourself the three letters, three words. Don't even say the whole psalm. King David's Psalms are so powerful. Three words, ki ato imodi. And so Hashem is with you, you close your eyes, and you look at the four letters of Hashem's name, you're home free. Hashem says, I'm with you. Imagine that Hashem revealed himself. And all around us are enemies and this and that. And Hashem picks up his beloved little boy and holds him in his bosom. You can be afraid of anything? Yeah, Hashem's holding you. Okay, who can do anything against Hashem? Nothing. That's the way we have to feel. And this is what King David said. It's all there. Kikmul alayimo. I feel in your arms, Hashem, like a baby in a mother's womb. In a mother's bosom. Kikmul alayimo. Right there. Hashem, that's the way you feel? Okay, that's the way the reality of your life is going to be. That we dictate the reality of our lives according to the level of our muna, and that is the key to our positive thinking. Bezrat Hashem. Hashem should help us all during the month of Elul. Strengthen ourselves in positive thinking. And you have to know one thing. What does Hashem expect for us now? We'll talk about more of this in subsequent lessons before Rosh Hashanah Bezrat Hashem. All Hashem expects. People, what is some grandiose thing? I'm going to learn a whole tractate, or I'm going to learn, you know, whatever to do, and I'm going to completely change myself. No, don't do that. All Hashem wants is to get a little bit better today than you were yesterday. The days of Elul take some particular thing, whether it's your davening or your learning. Okay, if you used to get a 5-minute attention span, all you want to do, Hashem, help me to have a 6-minute attention span. Hashem, help me go for an hour without speaking anything other than Torah. If yesterday you could do it for 45 minutes, today do it for 46 minutes. You think that minute doesn't mean anything? All Hashem wants every one of us to be, man, women, and child, is a little bit better than yesterday. But we have to believe that we can do it. We have to put in our heads that we can do it. That's positive thinking. And once we believe we can do it, we will do it. And that's the power of Muna. Bezat Hashem. Hashem should bless everyone with a wonderful new year. And together, hand in hand, we should be able to see Mashiach and rebuilding the Holy Temple and getting exiles before Rosh Hashanah. Amen.
Amen.